I saw New Orleans. Saw the people left for dead. I've heard every bald face lie you politicians said. I've seen it for myself, and you can't fool your sight. Well, we'd better make a change, and we'd better start tonight. With my own eyes, saw it with my own eyes. My own eyes, so I know it's true. Sure enough, I do. With my own eyes, I saw it with my own eyes. Y'all can't fool me. I saw it, I saw it. Yes, I did. So I know the truth. I know the truth. I know the truth. We saw with my own eyes. Some of the things my father would tell me. He said, Mavis, I've seen this years ago when I was a boy, and I thought by now all of this should have been taken care of long ago. When I was a boy, I didn't think I'd be a grown man looking at it still. We got to spread our word. You just be strong. Be strong. As long as you got your family, that's the strongest unit in the world. Stick together with your brothers and sisters. Keep you strong, can't nobody break you. All right, Pops. It's been almost 50 years, though. How much longer would it last? We need a change now more than ever. Why? Why? Somebody tell me why. Are we still treated so bad? Lord, 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 Lord. My own eyes, my own eyes, yeah, yeah, my own eyes. Oh, my own eyes. I know it's true. I saw it with my own eyes. Tell me about it. I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. Yes, I did. And I know it's true. Woo! Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Yeah. My own eyes. Song. All right. With my own eyes, I know it's true. Hey, hey, hey. My own eyes, my own eyes. And I know it's true. Saw it with my own eyes. Saw it with my own eyes. Yes, it is.
I wouldn't tell you
if
no lie.
If I ever heard God speak, God said, son, tonight, I want you to tell the people that God is a killer. 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 Is a killer.
Are we on CIDR 101.9 FM?
I thought, I've read that in the Bible. Where is it? God said,
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
I like just ripples.
Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Yes, that's right. I like the Scribbles. Nearly 1 hour late. Man, I'm starting to come as late to the show as I go to work, man. That's not good. Next week, I promise things will be different. It'll be bang on, 12 o'clock. I'll be like, Jason, off the air. My turn. And there'll be none of this interlude before my show starts. I apologize. For the last hour, I guess, we heard Mavis Staples, Will Never Turn Back. Ooh, produced by Ry Cooter. Some gospel tracks and stuff on there. This Little Light of Mine. My Own Eyes, that's probably the last track we heard. I don't know if it went all the way through yet once, because then we would have heard Jesus is on the Main Line. Poor Jesus, he's got a problem mainlining. Anyways, I Like the Scribbles is the show. I think I'm going to start with something a little similar to what we've been hearing, I guess. Yesterday's Universe, album produced by Madlib. It's kind of got an oldie feel to it. We're going to hear Bitches Brew, the first track on the album. Who performs it? It's the Otis Jackson Jr. Trio. And then, I don't know. We're going to go from there. Anyways, 822-2487 is the number you can call if you want to talk to me. Just noticed the August edition of Discorder magazine is out. Be sure to pick it up. Because it's good this month. Not that it's not good other months, but you know. As well. Next month, I'll even be writing for it, so check that out. Yeah.
I don't know if I can sing. Okay, well, I'm not trying to be a prima donna. I'm just shit-faced.
Well, let's see you sing a song.
Sing a song?
How about Blue Dahlia Lounge? Or Vodka Blues? Or...
I don't know. You know any of those?
Hey, I know those. I wrote them.
You should know
them. He's a songwriter.
Well, let's hear it. I want to hear Vodka Blues.
I will say, Austin John drank whiskey tonight.
Yeah.
And until he did that dog food straightened him right up. Sorry, let me read my... No, I can't do it right yet.
I'll help you out.
Ocho and Sam Martin are down at the Blue Dahlia Lounge. They want me to come and visit them and lay my money down. But I'm sitting here and I'm drinking beer and I'm listening to the guitar sound. I'll probably spend the rest of my life down at the Blue Dahlia Lounge. I'm talking to this trucker about his rig. I'm missing that highway sound. He tells me that those trucks out on the road, yeah, they're gearing down. But I'm sitting here and I'm drinking beer and I'm listening to the guitar sound. I'll probably spend the rest of my life down at the Blue Dahlia Lounge. Cause old Joe and Sam Martin and Bar down at the Blue Dahlia Lounge. They want me to come and to visit them and to lay my money down. Hell, I'm sitting here and I'm drinking beer and I'm listening to the guitar sound. I'll probably spend the rest of my life down at the Blue Dahlia Lounge. Tomorrow I'll donate a pint of blood down at 302 South Main. I'll buy me a beer on Beale Street just to keep from going insane. And I'll probably cuss when I ride the bus headed from downtown. Knowing the rest of my money is spent down at the Blue Dahlia Lounge. Where old Joe and Sam Martin and Bar down at the Blue Dahlia Lounge. They want me to come and to visit them and to lay my money down. Hell, I'm sitting here and I'm drinking beer and listen to the guitar sound. I'll probably spend the rest of my life down at the Blue Dahlia Lounge.
That was beautiful. Austin John.
Woo! I told you, this guy's a songwriter. Yeah. You got a whole bunch of them.
Well, he's from a song town, Austin.
The most musical city in the world, ain't it?
He was at my place for two days and he was getting this. He wanted to. He had a big credit card. He said, uh-oh, I know something's wrong. And he wound up in Palm Springs and had a ball and spent all kinds of money. And then he wound up in Florida and then he wound up in jail. But he was at my place and I told him, I said, you know, you can live here. I'll take care of the bills. You just have to work 2 hours a day. Just work on the fence for 2 hours, and then I'll take care of the rent and elect the bill. You know, and then if you want to work more, you get $5 an hour. So you can work all day and make as much as you want. You work 10 hours.
He
did it for 2 days and went, then they heard that my name is the warden. And the word got around, you know, and I said, you'll never get out of here. But he got kind of a little afraid, you know.
Scared him off.
I'd be worried of him too.
The last time we saw him was the last time it was a gathering of
I'd be worried of you too.
He and Edgy Soul anyway.
No room. When he and Wild Wild West pulled out, they're going to go to Washington D.C.
Oh, that was it. Remember when they were going out of Wild Wild West and him were on the road? You knew there was trouble.
Right. We watched him drive out of there.
That was unbelievable. These guys are headed for nowhere.
Somebody goes, how far is he going to get? And he's going, they ain't going to get past the state line. And they got to Reno. They got a little bit faster.
Unbelievable.
What a combination.
I wish I got
they
a picture
of that. They had the dog or two with them.
Yeah, both of them.
No back seat.
Yeah. They've been snapping at each other all weekend. Now they got them sharing the back seat together.
And you can see,
you know, Wild Wild West behind that. And that thing looked like it was tied together with bailing wire, you know. And you see him
so
in the driver's seat. You see
Roadhog.
Did
you ever see that one?
No, I was.
Oh, up at Roadhog's place.
They said, oh, it'll get us there. We rotated the tires.
Oh, I see. And then that
color guy has those braids here. One eye went that way, one went the other way.
Yeah, you did all the cooking and everything.
Oh, you mean Wild West?
Yeah.
Oh,
the guy with the crow.
He's a good guy.
I've known him for 20 years.
Right.
But he's when the cops stop him, he's scary looking.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he just escaped from
the answer. Me and Tehachapi Bob heading up there, and who drives by in that old shit box?
He's not even around the corner yet. Hold on.
He's got rubbish freaking out of his windows. Just tore down the old place.
That's right. Oh, who is that?
Wild West.
Oh, he's doing out of the house?
He says, jump in. I says, if you throw the lumber out, maybe we can get in.
Yeah, that's what they burned his house that weekend.
They're taking the firewood.
Right. They're using the firewood.
When we were up there at that RV park, remember?
Right.
Those guys were hiking the firewood?
Wild West. Tehachapi Bob.
That was his old house. It was Roadhog's old cabin.
What I admire in your eyes, Betty, she says, you look good looking.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, I'm not good looking.
Yeah. And, did you pull your zipper down here?
No way, huh? You're not that good looking.
She's a realist.
A realist.
Yeah.
She knew you couldn't get it up.
I didn't want to face that.
But I can read between between the fucking lines.
She wanted you instead of Uncle Freddy.
No.
That's what you're trying to tell us. Didn't he say it?
She's just paying a compliment. You know.
She's making you feel good.
Making me feel good. That's what I like.
Pedro.
Yeah.
She's good around the hobos.
Yeah,
she works the part.
What did you have on?
Nothing.
Hard on.
Birthday suit.
You had a hard on.
You had a yard on. I was in Brainerd.
Come on.
You had a Woody?
You had a Woody?
You weren't there.
I didn't have a Woody. Why would I be there?
I have Bonnie Ray's phone number.
You probably change that phone number.
Yeah? You keep leaving messages and she never calls you back?
No, you should try it.
No, I'm going to try it. Come through there.
Are you going to jump
a
Brady again?
I'm going to give her a ring.
Spider John Kerry.
Ride buses or something?
I thought you were Shell all this time. I felt sorry for you because I thought you were a bus rider. Wannabe.
Yeah,
I
Now, you talk a good game. I know you read a lot of books, though.
I can't read hardly.
You can look at things.
He wrote the books for
me. I never saw you on a freight train. You can say that about me.
I saw you on a
freight train. Yeah, no, I got a movie that says I'm on one. We can edit all that stuff in.
We know about computer.
I jump out of Rose all the time. I love it.
Turkey.
Rose. My bark is bark.
Yeah.
I know that place real well.
All right. This is a smart show.
Yeah. Fire in the hole. Now I know what that means.
You think I'd light on a spark? That fucking yard is hotter than the fire.
Really?
Oh. Two bulls in that RV, they're up and down.
Yeah.
You think you're a what?
Sparks, yeah.
Sparks.
This is the king body. The king of all kings.
I pay $7 to get the truckie.
But on a bus.
On the Greyhound.
You said the Greyhound? You hang around the men's room. What are you guys?
You get off in Truckee, they stop just for that moment.
They do. Well, push for 3 minutes.
That's right.
Well, they change crews?
He's in town.
No.
They don't change
crews at Truckee.
I don't fuck around anymore.
You know, New York.
I had this guy right down and smashing his head. He stabbed me twice with a switchblade. I had him fucking dead. I said, this guy here gets up, I'm dead. I went, boom, boom. I said, yeah, you're dead. He's just getting up. And he fucking stabbed me twice.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I came down, hit my knee, and there was blood all over the place. And I went,
oh,
blood was just shooting out all over.
Where was that?
That was in Hollywood.
Hollywood?
Yeah.
That's why you're not there no more.
That's why I'm out.
Yeah.
I stayed another 3 times, and my secretary got robbed 3 months after I got out of the hospital. I was in the hospital 3 months.
You know, I know a guy like New York Round. He carries a piece. He's got He's got pieces.
I got a fucking AK-47.
He's got pieces planted all over that fucking high line.
He got pins. Oh, wouldn't you know? He would. I know him.
And he's a psycho. You know.
Yeah, but that's a good idea, because I have a lot of pieces,
he's got
too,
fucking pieces planted on. He's on he rides these double stackers, and he's got to get, you know, he's a crazy fuck riding them fucking double stacks.
Wait, bro, it goes to the well.
And he's got this thing he listens in, you know.
Yeah, the scanner?
Yeah, the scanner. Good kid.
Yeah, that went astray.
And he's doing time now.
Yeah, I know. He's gone away for 3 or 4 years.
He's right. Now, he writes.
New York,
New York Run.
He's our crown prince.
I think he's a
crown prince.
He's a crown prince, yeah?
Yeah,
he's a
crown.
Yeah, he's
in other words, he can't help bad himself.
Yeah, right.
He's a kleptomaniac.
Crypto, right. That's what I heard. Because we were saying, hey, where's this guy?
Is that the guy I got?
The guy's from our party. Oh, somebody's Ken Goxon's sleeping bag was ripped off one day, and somebody else's shit was said, who the fuck would do that? I mean, nobody, right? And it turns out this guy's in jail all the time for fucking cut, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he got the blame.
Well, they smeared him. Well, they smeared him in Glasgow,
yeah, right.
And he was down there. They told him, don't come back here.
Oh,
he's doing time now in Deer Lodge.
Oh, yeah.
Where's that at?
Montana.
Deer Lodge. Wow.
That was a division point on the Milwaukee River.
So what do you get busted for?
You fucking young guys don't know shit from Shinola. I used to come to Deer Lodge when the Milwaukee Railroad change crew steam days.
Yeah, steam, they had steam?
Yeah. Coming from Harrelton, Montana to into Deer Lodge was a change crew. The penitentiary is over there, 150 yards, and the yards are here. And you can see the guards in the tower. They got the glasses. They look you over.
Well, they're checking every train.
And they didn't bother us both. And the Milwaukee Road there at Deer Lodge, they didn't bother you. I don't think there was a bowl there. Jesus Christ.
The good old days. Look what we have to go through now. They have x-ray machines when you go by and get the body heat.
He's doing time there. But I got an idea. He's gonna get out next year.
Him and Roadhog at the same time.
Oh boy!
That's gonna be the hardest in the world.
I'll make sure we're all here next year.
Right.
Yeah.
We gotta get him here.
I'll make a point of that.
I met Roadhog in Minneapolis.
Yeah, no, he did it with a cigar box. Said there was a bomb in it.
He told me a story when I met him in Brit in '91 in Brit. He told me a story years ago. You know, I don't know how.
He was ready for that.
He was telling me the story about how he went into some bank needing to borrow some money, and of course he had no collateral or nothing, so they wouldn't give anything. So he was taking a urine sample to his probation officer, and he pulled it out and put it on the counter and said, this is nitro, it's going to blow the whole city block up. You know? So it's the same routine. He told me about that back in 91. He said it was years ago.
He knows how to work the system.
Right. He pulled out the same thing with a cigar box.
Roadhog is dying, so he went in there for an operation. That's how
this is what he did. After he lost his
that goes for about a mile. You can start working out there.
Well, I don't.
And he worked for 2 days, and then was like, I'm not a good
boy. Listen, I'm going to blow.
Where are you going?
I got a lick from the lizard.
Oh, where are you going?
Why don't you get away with that mother? A couple of your customers, right?
Yeah. Well, we're not familiar with their job.
All right. Thank you.
hang out.
Shoot you up and spit you out quick, huh?
I wouldn't rush my hair. About 35 years old, he's a big gal, analyst of it, big gun on her. A big
back in heat and all that, huh?
357 is what she had on her fucking head. Yeah, that'll blow your fucking head off. I was nice to her.
Cool.
Glasgow, Montana.
Yeah?
Yep.
Glasgow, isn't that where New York Ron
got
where
he got fucked up.
Right.
What a crazy bastard coming back to
Yeah!
steel. Can you get up?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hold it now. Hold it.
The robe.
What?
Get the robe.
Hold it on. That's all right. That's enough now.
Chaplin, do you think that the world's next great catastrophe will be invasion in Russia? Well, that may be probable, but I don't think it'll be the world's next great catastrophe. I believe that it's found in God. I believe it's coming. I believe it's soon. I believe it's imminent. If you will turn with me quickly in your Bible, there are many scriptures that you could read upon the subject, but we will just choose a few to start with here, found in 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, and the 13th verse. It says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now listen to this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Well, someone would say, "Chaplain, how can you preach that this is the world's greatest catastrophe or the next greatest catastrophe to come upon the earth? And it says to comfort one another with these words." Well, I'd like to simply say this, that it is a comfort to the Christian to know that Jesus Christ is coming back again. But to the lost world that is without Christ and they only have religion in their heads and not their hearts, it's going to be a great catastrophe. And this is going to take place like this. One of these days, it might be 12 o'clock at noon, it might be 3 o'clock in the morning, but it's going to be at some time, and of course it'll be at various times across the face of the earth, Jesus is coming back. That means everyone that is born again, that's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean just Baptists or Presbyterians, but it means everyone that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That he is going to raise the dead in Christ first, and then immediately another trumpet's going to sound, and he is going to translate those that are here. And the Bible speaks about in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And science tells us that that is a tenth of a second. That fast, the second coming of Christ is going to transpire. Now, what's going to happen? I wonder what's going to happen to the airplanes. I know some Christian pilots that fly some of the great airlines. And these airplanes are going to be flying along, and maybe even the pilot and the co-pilot are both born-again Christians flying along, and all of a sudden they hear a trumpet sound. Won't that be wonderful to hear that trumpet sound and Jesus coming back again? But you know, my friends, for all those passengers on that plane, they're going to be doomed, because that plane is going to spiral down towards the ground, and it's going to be a tremendous crash. Maybe someone at the terminal where the planes are stacked so many thousand feet high, coming in, maybe through fog and rain and so forth, maybe the controller at that airport all of a sudden is a Christian, and he's going to be taken out to meet the Lord in the air. I wonder about that. All of those planes up there, no one to take over. What a time that's going to be, planes crashing into buildings. What about the men that are the switchmen for the railroad that are Christians, born again, saved? Trains are going to be wrecking. Why, you're going to listen to the Christian radio stations. We have some Christian radio stations in our neighborhood around here, and all of a sudden there's nobody there. Why, you turn to some of the rock and roll stations, everything's going along just fine. But my friends, when you come to this time in life, it's going to be a great catastrophe. Why, cars are going to be crashing on the expressways, cars will slam into one another because of the tremendous tides and the crashes. And I believe that even maybe the lights in all the major cities will go out. You know what I believe? That these lights that are going out in some of these cities, I believe they're really a warning from God of the impending judgment and the doom that is really to come upon a nation that has forgotten God. My friends, I believe that we're living in the last days. Now, can you picture? The airplanes are crashing. The trains are running into one another.
And all of a sudden, cars begin to run into one another. And there's big tabs, and people are missing out of the cars. They can't find them. And a man is running down the street, and he says, "Have you seen my wife? Have you seen my children?" Well, they'll say, "No," said Mr. So-and-so across the street, said he can't find his wife. And the people start running the streets and said, "Our loved ones are gone. What happened?" And someone said, "Well, it seems like the Christians are gone, the ones that went to church." They said, "No, I know a lot of people down the street that they went up here to this social gospel church, but they're all here." But my friends, the ones that have truly been born of God, there's going to be a great weeping and a great crying. And people are going to say, "But my loved ones are gone. Have you seen my boy? Have you seen my girl?" And dads that rejected Jesus Christ and waited until it was too late to be saved. Someone said, "Well, I'll know, preacher. I'll know that's the second coming of Christ, and then I'll come to Jesus." No, the Bible tells us also in Thessalonians that God will send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie, who have pleasures in unrighteousness rather than to receive the love of the truth. That means simply this, that because you'd rather live out in this wicked world of sin that's going on today rather than going to God's house and being an old-fashioned Christian, you'd rather go out to the beaches and to the places of amusement. My friend, the Bible tells me because you'd rather have the pleasures in sin for a season, that God is going to send you strong delusion that you would believe a lie, and that you will believe that this man that's going to rise, who the Bible speaks of as the beast, whose number is 666, the Bible tells me that you're going to believe that this is the real Christ. And of course, we know him to be the Antichrist. And anyone that receives this mark in their forehead or on their hand, it is impossible for them to be saved. The Bible says that they are damned. That means that these people have no chance to be saved. Now, my friends, the Bible says if you do not accept Christ today and you've heard the gospel, it'll be impossible for you to be saved in that day and time. You'll say, "Preacher, well, who's going to be saved during that time?" In the Great Tribulation period, there are going to be those that never heard the gospel, the heathen, and that's when the Bible will be fulfilled, when it says that my gospel shall be preached unto all nations as a witness, but not until then. And don't forget this, that just about every nation, even now, has had the gospel preached to them. So, folks, we realize that our days are numbered and that Jesus is coming back. I know a lot of people said, "Well, they have been preaching that ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper." My friends, that's what he said in the Bible days. "Why, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. But in an hour that you think not, so cometh the Son of Man." I would say that the world's next great catastrophe, if one day you're driving down the highway and all of a sudden you see cars wrecking on both sides of the highway, and you get out of your car and you see many cars empty that are torn all to pieces with the doors locked and nobody in them, you just might find out that you are in the middle of the world's greatest catastrophe, the second coming of Christ, and that you've been left behind, and that it's too late to make your peace with God. I was talking to a man in the hospital a few years ago. He was dying of cancer. This man was too weak to talk to me, but he could nod his head a little bit, and I asked him if he was a Christian. His wife nodded no, and he looked up in my eyes pitifully. And he went through the sinner's prayer, barely could whisper in my ear, had to put my ear practically, or my mouth, above his ear to make him hear. Now that man went out into eternity. I do not know if he was saved. My friends, don't wait until you get this far down the road of destruction to turn back to God. Don't wait that late. This man, maybe he went to heaven, maybe he went to hell. I do not know. But I know one thing, that if you will trust Jesus today, he can save you. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you kneel right there by your record player or by your radio and say, "Lord, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake, and I'll meet you in heaven." God bless you.
That was the Cinematic Orchestra on CHR 101.9 FM. And I actually have a pair of tickets to give away to see the Cinematic Orchestra coming September 18th to Dix on Dix. So 822-2487 if you want to check that show out. It should be good. We heard Time and Space off the album Maffler. We also heard What the Bible Says About UFOs by, what was his name? Bob Spriggs or something. It was great. It was great. But we just heard the last part of that album where he talks about being saved. Not so much about the UFOs. Kind of deceiving title. I got about 15 minutes left in the show today. Short one because, because I fucked up and didn't get here in time. So, there you go. Let's see. What should I play next? Oh, yeah. Earlier on in the show, I was playing some Hobo Conversations and Interviews. That and the Bible's UFO stories were graciously downloaded from WFMU's site, and the 365 Days of Music project, and Otis Fodder. Thank you, Otis. Let's see. Let's go with something else borrowed from their site. And I've also got some Fisk Industries lined up to play for you off the EPs and Rarity album. We're going to hear, off the 77 and Rising EP, going to hear a track called Reflection. But first, this is Dana Brown with 8 Nights of Holy.
These are the drums of Western Nepal. The drum is the basic musical instrument in every village. This village is celebrating a holiday named Holi, spelled H-O-L-I. During this holiday, which lasts 8 days and 8 nights, all marriage ties are dissolved, and the 8 days and 8 nights are devoted to singing, dancing, and making love. Of these people surpasses understanding. And during the 8 days and nights of Holi, when all marriage ties are dissolved, it seems that everyone enters into the spirit of the occasion. The girl of Western Nepal is one of the prettiest women in the world. She has a golden bronze complexion. Her perfect figure moves with the grace of the panther. She's as cute and cuddly as a kitten, but she has the temperament of the female tiger. She demonstrates this temperament during the 8 days and 8 nights of Holi. Thank you.
strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again.
Welcome back. I'm Kenneth Walker. As a teenager, I would sit in the kitchen and watch and listen as my mother prepared our meals while humming and singing songs by Nina Simone. I renewed my love of Nina Simone during the turbulent 60s when her brutally frank artistry captured the aspirations, the fears, and the angers of the African-American people. Not only her artistry was brutally frank, but Nina Simone always spoke her mind and lived her life, lived the life of her choosing, and no matter what anybody else thought of it. In this way, I became a diehard fan of Nina and her music. So it was with undiluted joy when, about 20 years ago, I had a treasured personal encounter. On her way to Washington, a mutual friend and fellow newspaper man, Chuck Stone, suggested that Nina look me up, and she did. It was my privilege and the highest of honors to be able to have dinner and go dancing with Madame Nina Simone, one of the great experiences of a lifetime. Now you too can have something of that privilege. You can speak with the legendary Dr. Nina Simone. Just call the PowerPoint hotline at 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-8255. Now, once again, it's an honor to welcome Dr. Nina Simone. Welcome, Nina.
Thank you very much. I am ill, and I can't stay on this phone very long.
Well, I'm just happy for the opportunity, however long it lasts. I'm sorry to hear that you're not feeling well. Could you tell us something about how your music has evolved over the years to where it is today, and something about what your life is like?
Well, my life is going from here and there, giving concerts. We just left
Seattle.
Seattle.
Had a great concert there.
We had a sold-out house there. And we've only been here today. So I'm in bed.
I understand.
I'm dressed.
I understand. You actually have lived outside the United States for,
25 years.
Why did you leave?
Racism.
And you found it no opportunity to deal with that within the United States, I trust.
I beg your pardon?
Well, you felt you had to leave because of that?
That's right.
How do audiences outside the United States differ in their admiration of you from those inside the United States?
They differ because they ask all about the racism here. I was just with President Mandela in South Africa. And they all wanted to know about the racism here, and I told them it was worse than ever.
Describe how you think it's worse compared to a time when they were killing off African-American leaders and bombing little girls?
It's more subtle now.
It's more subtle now, you think?
Yes. But it's just as bad. It's in the very fabric of American society.
So what are your long-term expectations or hopes for African-American people here in the United States?
My dear man, I think unless they leave, unless they leave, they're going to die here because there aren't any leaders anymore.
What will they die of?
Racism.
I see. I was surprised to read in my research that you actually did not originally intend to become a singer, but rather a classical concert pianist.
That's right.
What happened to change your mind?
I was rejected at Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia because of my race, and I never got over it.
And I understand your first performing job was as a performer at a club in Atlantic City.
Yeah, that's after I was rejected at Philadelphia Institute of Music.
Curtis. Now, it was at this club in Atlantic City where both you adopted your name, I understand, and you began singing as well as playing. Can you tell us about that?
Well, there's nothing to tell. I had to help support my family, and I had to start singing in order to do that. At first, I was playing the piano, and then the owner, a big fat character with a cigar in his mouth, told me that if I didn't sing, I didn't have the job. And at that time, we had no money, and I had to sing in order to make $90 a week.
And I understand that you adopted the name Nina Simone because your mother was a Methodist minister and you didn't want her to know you were playing in this club.
That's right.
Tell us about your experience in South Africa recently. What did you think of President Mandela?
I think he's the greatest man on the planet.
What
was there at his wedding, and I was there at his anniversary.
What do you think of the situation for black people inside South Africa?
Well, they're fine.
How so? How do you mean that?
Well, he's the president. He's the one who dictates what happens in that country. And his main concern are the children. We don't have that over here.
I was also reading in some of the research that you felt when you first went to visit the continent of Africa that you felt so at home.
That's right. And I urge all black Americans to go to Africa.
What do you think they will find there?
They will find a home.
Oh, you think that they ought to leave and live there?
Damn right.
Tell us in terms of your own family here. Have any of them adopted this advice?
No, we're separated, just like they did in slavery. They separated the family, and they've done the same thing here. My mother is 97 years old, and I don't see her. I do have a daughter who sings and acts in America. And she's the only one I'm close to. Slavery hasn't changed, my friend. It's just adopted a new face.
But you don't see among African Americans here any progress in race relations at all?
No, I see rappers saying the same thing I did years ago.
Speaking of rappers, what do you think of contemporary music?
I don't like rappers.
Why not?
Because they don't sing. All they do is play drums and talk.
I see. Well, where do you think beyond the rap music the state of America, black American music is today?
I don't see it being anywhere. I don't know of any one singer that I admire in this country.
Well, I read that you were a great admirer of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I do, because of his record, because of his record called They Don't What is Michael Jackson?
They don't care about us.
They don't care about us. And that's the one where he took off and announced what was happening with the Jews and the Americans here. And then, of course, he changed.
Well, yes, when he changed, I've read that you said that Quincy Jones is responsible for the tragedy that is Michael Jackson.
I think so. I think that's why he changed his face and why he changed his hair, because he was too confused about what it meant to be black.
And how was Quincy Jones responsible for that?
Because he influenced them. Quincy Jones did most of his album. And he had to have somebody to imitate. And Quincy Jones was married to a white woman. So Michael married a white woman and had a white baby.
I gather you don't believe in interracial romantic relationships. You don't believe in them?
No.
But you had a white husband once.
My God, that was a mistake. He was a creep.
Well, so you think black people just ought to marry black people?
I certainly think that, and I don't think it's going to happen over here. It's too late.
Why do you think the quality of African-American leadership has deteriorated?
Because Martin Luther King has said that the Jackson is full of shit and we ain't got nobody.
Is there anything you think that you could tell the younger people coming up about how to become more effective leaders?
Oh, God, they have to finish college and they have to read their black, which they don't do. They start the group.
I see. We have actually, the switchboard is off the scales, and I want to give our listeners an opportunity to...
Darling, I can't do that. I'm ill.
I see. Well, maybe I can ask just another one or two questions. Another one or two questions. Are you still involved politically? You've always been something of a rebel.
I always have been, and I still am. I didn't want to come to the United States. I didn't want to do, what's the name of that place? Seattle?
Is that part of a continuing tour? Do you have other American stops on it?
No, just Newark.
Newark, New Jersey?
Yes.
Well, if it's so painful for you to come to the United States, I have to ask you why you do.
I needed the money, and this is the first time I've been in the United States to give a concert in 4 years.
You seem to...
I needed the money.
Well, I have to tell you, we're absolutely happy that you're here. Very grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak with you. Now, you do give concerts more frequently in Europe and Asia, I gather.
Yes, and we're getting ready to do a South American tour.
A South American tour? When is that going to schedule?
I'm not sure when it's going to be.
What do you think, because I hear so many young black women who admire you, what do you think your influence on young African-American women has been?
I'm a model for them. They watch me to see what I'm going to do. And they watch me to see if I've changed. And I sure enough ain't changed.
At all?
Hell no. I still believe that,
idea about when any of this is likely to happen?
No.
How would you rate...
Stay over here, it's gonna happen.
Where are you living now?
I live in France.
In the south of France, I guess.
Yes.
How do people treat you over there?
Okay. And there's less racism.
Less racism. Well, wouldn't you...
Yes.
Wouldn't you think that, for a woman of your celebrity and talent, that you'd get treated with that kind of respect wherever you are?
Well, yeah, but I'm not treated that with that kind of respect in America. I'm no more than a nigger here.
Give us some examples of how you're treated in America.
Oh, come on, man. You know how I'm treated. I'm treated like you are. I'm treated like all the American junkies are treated like a piece of shit. And when I'm in America, that's why I don't come here.
Well, you know, we have hundreds of people who are very diehard fans and who love you, who are calling now. I want an opportunity just to have a word with you.
Lovely people, I'm glad they love me, and they should come and see me in Newark.
When is that, do you think, in the concert in Newark?
The 30th.
The 30th of August, the concert in Newark. Give us the name of your latest album and the label it's on.
There is no latest album. Well, the name of the latest album...
Single Woman, I think,
Woman
is...
Alone.
A Woman Alone.
By Electra.
What do you think? What was the inspiration behind that album?
There was no inspiration. They hired me to make an album. They told me what to sing, and I sang it.
About 3 years ago, a court in San Francisco gave you ownership of 52 of your master recordings. That's something of a different positive approach in that you are gaining ownership of your music.
Yeah, because I've got a great lawyer in San Francisco.
Well, how do you reconcile your artistic excellence with the compromises that are necessary for show business?
I don't understand that question.
Well, you know, show business requires, you know, a lot of unpleasant activity, I suppose. And as an artist, you know, how do you deal with all that?
I simply get up and do my songs and don't care.
The inspiration for Four Women, that song, Four Women. What can you tell us about that?
I can only say that it speaks for itself about the different colors of American women, the texture of their hair, and their color. It addresses themselves to black women. Not that many of them have embraced the song. They don't seem to care, and they certainly don't identify with it.
And your so-called protest music in the 60s, Mississippi Goddamn, Strange Fruit, and others, you don't seem to do much of that kind of music anymore. Why is
that? No, because ain't nothing happening in this state. You know that I'm the one that limited.
Well, Nina, we're coming up on a break we have to take. We want to know if you want to continue with us or you need
to... No, I have to go.
Okay, well, we want to thank you. When we come back, we're going to give some of our callers an opportunity to give their observations and recollections about Dr. Nina Simone. I want to thank you so much and wish you... we'll get well soon, Dr. Simone.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
We're coming up on 29 minutes into the hour. We've been talking with Dr. Nina Simone about her life and her music. You can offer your observations about her, that legendary diva, when we come back.
strong to all my Muslim brother in this country, especially my brother Muhammad Ali, Jamar Mansour, Muhammad Ali, and Arushi. And you know Muhammad Ali, the most black brother in the world, love Jesus, because Muhammad, his name was Christian Christ. He believed this song. He come to the Muslim, Shia Muslim. And also, I was a Georgia. My manager was a Sonny G, Jamar Mansour. And David Lenneman, I want to listen to you good too. And Regis Feldman, David Lenneman, and Jerry Sprinter, whatever all you guys host you. And especially my friend in the good morning America, Mac Lover, and the lady, whatever. I want to say, you need a bad teacher, right? Look at the crowd. Look at our sheep. Look at my agent. Look at my brother, my brother, and another manager of state.
Look at this muscle, man. Oh, God, it's so beautiful.
Oh, God, it'd be so fucking big. Mmm. Oh, I just fucking... Oh, God, I can get off of myself just looking at this body, man. Mmm.
We'll be right back.